that what was said is now being completed, accomplished. That is a prophecy. And this prophecy refers to Jesus. I said, why? He said, you see, it says, Suas ye is. In prophet sal ek fa halafa vek, eidi midafan halavruas. Suas ye is. Suas ye is means like unto thee, like you, like Moses. And Jesus is like Moses. So I said, how? He said, you see, Jesus was a Jew and Moses was a Jew. I said, yes. So Jesus is like Moses. He said, you see, Jesus was a prophet and Moses was a prophet. I said, yes. So he said, Jesus is like Moses. I said, anything else? He said, no, this is what you can think of for the moment. So I said, look, if these are the only two standards of finding a candidate for that prophecy, then this prophecy will fit every Jewish prophet after Moses. David, Solomon, Ezekiel, Elisha, Elijah, Zechariah, Micah, name them, Zephaniah. There are 70 different prophets mentioned in the Old Testament, in the new John the Baptist, Yahya alayhi salam. So I said, why should not this prophecy, you know, fit any one of those other prophets, and why to Jesus? Because they were all Jews and they were all prophets. So why make fish of one and follow the other? Why Jesus and why not any one of the others? There was no answer. So I said, you see, Dumini, I think that Jesus is not like Moses. For three reasons. Number one, I said, according to you, now mark my words, I said, according to you, Jesus is a God. He said, yes. You know, he's very happy because they believe that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, God Almighty coming down to earth as a man. He said, according to you, Jesus is God. But I said, Moses is not God. He said, yes. I said, therefore, Jesus is not like Moses. Number two, I said, according to you, Jesus died for the sins of the world. He said, yes. But I said, Moses didn't die for anybody's sins. He said, yes. I said, therefore, Jesus is not like Moses. Number three, I said, according to you, Jesus went to hell for 3 days. Imagine, they sent the God for to hell to go and retrieve people. 3 days he was in hell after his crucifixion. His soul went into hell, Jahannam. I said, according to you, look, we don't say that, we can't say that. That a prophet of God, we believe they're all sinless, and an innocent man, Allah put him into Jahannam, what for? He said, I said, according to you, Jesus went to hell for 3 days. He said, yes. But I said, Moses didn't have to go there. He said, yes. I said, therefore, Jesus is not like Moses. And I could see, you know, beads of perspiration. It was a cold day. Beads of perspiration. And I felt, you know, look, we all have our idiosyncrasies. Every nation has certain characteristics. All of us. You know, the Indian Muslim, he behaves in a certain way. The Malay Muslim, he behaves in a certain way. We all have our characteristics. The Afrikaner has got his characteristics. You see, when you corner him, he said, where's my gun? No, that, because he was used to that. You see, look, the gun. So anytime you corner the man, he's looking for his gun. The Britisher, the Englishman. I think our video man is a Britisher, with apologies. You see, the Britisher, when you corner him, you know what he says? Let's have a round table conference. Look, these are, you know, we all have some funny idiosyncrasies, characteristics, all of us. So I said, now before that happens, you know, the man starts looking for his gun, you know, he's a Dumini. I said, now, shh. I said, you see, Dumini, look, these what you are talking about are hypothetical things. These are not solid facts, hard facts, that little child, you know, your child playing on the veranda, that child will not be able to understand what you are talking about the divinity of Christ, about his redeeming blood, about him descending into Hades, hell. This child can't understand what you're talking about. Let's just talk about something basic, solid, simple fact that even a little child can understand. So he was very happy. I said, so in that case, I said, number one, Moses had a father and a mother. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also had a father and a mother. But Jesus had only a mother. He had no human father. He was born miraculously. And the Bible says, in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18, it says, before
They came together, who Joseph and Mary, as husband and wife. She was found with child by the Holy Ghost. In Afrikaans, the voor dat hulle saam gekom het, is sy swanger bevind uit die Heilige Gees. I said, is that right? He said, yes. I said, daarom is Jesus nie soos Moses nie, maar Muhammad is soos Moses. I was practicing Afrikaans. I said, therefore, Jesus is not like Moses, but Muhammad is like Moses. Number two. I said, Moses and Muhammad were both born in the normal course of things, a man and a woman coming together. But Jesus was created by a special miracle. As you know, in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1, verse 35, it says, when the good news was given to Mary about the birth of the Holy Son, she says, how shall this thing be when I know not a man? Means physically, sexually, I have no experience of a man, how can I have a son? So, the answer that the angel gives her is, that the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High will overshadow thee. I said, is that right? We will deal with this in detail under the subject Christ in Islam. But for the moment, this is the point. The point is that he was born miraculously. The Holy Quran also confirms in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 47, when the good news is given, she says, قَالَتْ رَبِّ أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي وَلَدٌ وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرٌ. She said, oh my Lord, how shall I have a son when no man has pressed me? So the angel is made to say in reply, قَالَ كَذَلِكِ اللَّهُ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Say, even so, Allah creates what he will. إِذَا قَدَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. So whenever he decrees a matter, he merely says to it, be and it is. As we believe that he was born miraculously, you believe that he was born miraculously. Is that true? He said, yes. I said, therefore, Jesus is not like Moses, but Muhammad is like Moses. Number three, Moses and Muhammad, peace and blessings of God be upon all his prophets, Moses and Muhammad, they both married and they begat children. But Jesus remained a bachelor all his life. Is it true? Of course, the Mormons say Jesus had two wives. Mary Magdalene and Martha were his wives. We won't go into that. The bulk of Christendom say Jesus was a bachelor all his life. Is that true? So he said, yes. I said, therefore, Jesus is not like Moses, but Muhammad is like Moses. Number four. Moses and Muhammad were accepted as prophets, acknowledged as prophets by the people in the lifetime. No doubt, the Jews gave endless trouble to Moses, Hazrat Musa. Endless trouble. They murmured in the wilderness. And he was so provoked, Hazrat Musa, that he addresses his own people. He says, behold, a stiff-necked people, an arrogant people, you, my people. He said, ye have been rebellious against the Lord since the day I knew you. From the day I know you, you are like this. A rebellious people against Allah. These are the condemnations of Hazrat Musa for his own people. Endless trouble they gave him. But before he died, his people as a whole, they accepted Hazrat Musa as Rasulullah, as the messenger of Allah. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Holy Prophet Muhammad also. His people also gave him endless trouble, you know. The Muslims had to make two hijras. To Abyssinia, the early Muslims, two hijras to Abyssinia. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and everybody else, the believers, had to make a hijra, migration to Medina. Even in Medina, they gave him no peace. Badr, Bahar, Khandaq. They gave him no peace. But before he died, his people as a whole, they accepted the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Rasulullah, as the messenger of Allah. History, this is history. Moses was accepted by his people as a man of truth, as a man of God, a prophet. The Arabs also accepted the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a man of God, as a true prophet of God, as a whole. But the Bible tells us about Jesus in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, verse 11, it says, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. In Afrikaans, he has said, Iendam hakom, and say, Ia mensa het homni anhaniam ni. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. I said, is that true? He said, yes. I said, Darom, is Jesus ni suas Moses ni, mar Muhammad is suas Moses. I was practicing Afrikaans. Number five. I said, Moses and Muhammad, they were prophets as well as kings. A prophet is a man who receives divine inspiration to guide his people, but he might not have the power of backing it up, to implement the laws that he receives. For example, like Yunus alayhi salam, he delivered his message. He couldn't implement it. Lut alayhi salam, you know, his people went for abominations. Allah destroyed the people, but Yunus alayhi salam couldn't do anything. Lut alayhi salam, Yunus alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, all these are prophets of God. They delivered the messages, but they couldn't implement the law, the Sharia. They couldn't implement it. Yahya alayhi salam, no power to implement. So they were only prophets. Whatever they received, they delivered the message. But Musa alayhi salam was something more than that. He was a prophet as well as a king. Not with the title of a king, but a king, by that I mean one who has the power of life and death over his people. Whether you call him a president, call him a dictator, call him an emperor, call him what you like. If a man has the power of life and death, a simple word, we say he's a king. So Moses was such a man. He received divine inspiration. He delivered the message. And anybody broke the law, the adulterer and the adulteress are stoned them to death. And they would be stoned to death. They were told not to do any work on the Sabbath day, Yom Sabbath, Saturday. No work. Not even picking up firewood. So a man was found picking up firewood. So they brought him along and they stoned him to death for picking up firewood. That was the law. So he had the power of not only delivering the message but implementing the law. Our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, same. He was not only a messenger of God, but he had the power of life and death over his people. But Jesus Christ, when he came, and he was confronted by the Romans, the Jews implicated him, and he was brought for trial, for treason. That was the trial, was for treason against the state, that this man is trying to pervert the nation, trying to create turmoil in the nation. So Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, questions Jesus. He says, "Art thou the king of the Jews? Are you the king?" So Jesus says, "Thou sayest." That's what you say. So he said, "Am I a Jew to say that?" But when he was questioned, pressurized further, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world. Me konikreik is ni van hierdie wereld ni." If my kingdom was of this world, then my disciples would have taken up the sword to fight, which they didn't do. So my kingdom is not from him, not from here, not an earthly kingdom. Mine is a spiritual kingdom, meaning I am a prophet of God, trying to guide people spiritually, not to shoot out or kill people, chopping off people's heads. No, that's not my job. I didn't come for that. So he says, my kingdom is not of this world. In other words, his is a spiritual kingdom. Moses had a spiritual as well as a material kingdom. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also had a spiritual as well as a material kingdom. Jesus had only a spiritual kingdom. He was only a prophet. Is that true? So Dumi said, yes. I said, therefore, Jesus is not like Moses, but Muhammad is like Moses. Number six. Moses and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they brought new laws and new regulations for the people. Before Moses, the Jews didn't have the Ten Commandments. They didn't have a comprehensive law. They knew certain things about good and bad. They knew about God Almighty. But they didn't have a law. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam gives them the Ten Commandments. And he gives them the laws of ceremonial law about purity. What is pak, what is napak, what is pure, what is impure. What to eat, what not to eat. And every little minutest detail, which they didn't have before. New law, new regulation. The Arabs before Islam also had no law. They were an absolutely a barbaric people. A people, a nation that buried the daughters alive. They married the stepmothers. These Arabs, before in the Ayyam al-Jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance before Islam. Drunkards, adulterers, gamblers, fratricidal wars over little things, they were fighting for decades. Gibbon, the master historian, in his Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, he describes the situation beautifully. He says, the human brute, the animal in human form, the human brute, almost without sense, is poorly distinguished from the rest of the animal creation. That the only thing that is differentiates him between the animal and him is the form. Ahsani Taqweem. Allah has made you in the best of forms. Otherwise, worse than animals. These Arabs, no laws, no regulations. From that, through Allah's Kalam, the Quran, our Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the 23 years of his prophetic life, he transformed them into an angelic people. Thomas Carlyle, one of the greatest thinkers of the past century, he delivered a series of talks in England, and among his hero prophet, he chose our Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not David as his hero prophet, or Solomon, or Moses, or Jesus. He chose the holy prophet Muhammad as his hero prophet. And in paying a tribute, he says to the Arab nation, it was a birth from darkness into light, this new revelation, new message. It was a birth from darkness into light. Arabia became first alive by means of it. A poor shepherd people, roaming unnoticed in its desert since the creation of the world. These were the Arabs. Nobody would give them a second look. The human rubbish. That's what they were. Alexander the Great passed them by. The Persians passed them by. The Romans passed them by. Nobody was interested in this human rubbish. What are you doing with them? They didn't know oil was going to come out there. They didn't know. They just passed them by. So see, the unnoticed becomes world notable. The small has grown world great. Within one century afterwards, Arabia was at Granada, that's in Spain, on one hand, and at Delhi on the other. Glancing in valor and splendor, and the light of genius, Arabia shines over a great section of the world. Belief is great, life-giving. The history of a nation becomes fruitful, soul-elevating, great, so soon as it believes. Is it not as if a spark had fallen, one spark on a world of what seemed black, unnoticeable sand? But lo, the sand proves explosive powder, blazes heaven high from Delhi to Granada. This is what the message did, overnight. In decades, what the Roman Empire took 1,000 years to build, within decades, they built an empire greater than that of Alexander the Great, greater than that of Rome. What did it? It's this new revitalizing message, the message of Islam, did the job, changed, transformed the nation. New laws, new regulations. Moses brings new laws, new regulations. The Holy Prophet Muhammad brings new laws, new regulations. Jesus Christ, when he was confronted by the Jews, they were thinking that this man is bringing a new religion. So Jesus assures them, according to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17, 18, and 19, he says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come not to destroy but to fulfill." He says, "Muni dink that et hakom het om the vet of the prophet at the ont bintni. Ek het ni hakom om the ont bintni but to fulfill." I said, "Is that true?" That's what he told the people, that he had brought no new laws, no new regulations. He has come to fulfill the law. He said, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, or shall teach men so, shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall teach and do shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." He has come assuring the Jews with no new laws, no new regulations. He's only come to confirm, fulfill the previous revelation. Is that true? They said, "Yes." I said, "Therefore, Jesus is not like Moses, but Muhammad is like Moses." Number 7. I said, "Moses and Muhammad, they both died natural deaths. But according to you," I said, "Jesus was violently killed on the cross. According to you, is that true?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Darum, Jesus ni suas Moses ni, mar Muhammad is suas Moses. Therefore, Jesus is not like Moses, but Muhammad is like Moses." Number 8. I said, "Moses is becoming a doormat for them. This is not the role that Allah has in store for you. He says, li yuzi hira hu ala deen kulli. He's given you a deen that is the master, overcome and supersede them all. Kulli, every deen, whether it be Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, Christianism, Communism, every ism, Islam is destined to master them all. This is his promise. But you want to be a punching bag for them? That's your choice. Allah didn't want you to be that. A doormat. Doormat for people to rub the shoes on. That's your role. You have chosen that. This is not your destiny." So, I said, "Moses and Muhammad, they both are buried on earth. But Jesus is resting in heaven. Is it true?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Therefore, Jesus is not like Moses, but Muhammad is like Moses." And I could see again. I said, "No. No, we have to soften things up. You see? before he looks for the gun. So I said, you know, Bhimini, what I have been proving to you is simply one phrase, suat ye is, like unto thee, like you, like Moses. I gave you 8 different reasons to show that Jesus is not like Moses, but Muhammad is like Moses. But it was all to prove that one phrase, suat ye is, like unto thee, like you, like Moses. That's all. But I said, the prophecy, the verse, is more than just that one phrase. It says, I will raise them up a prophet from among the brethren like unto thee. From among the brethren, not from among themselves, but from among the brethren. That's who are the brethren of the Jews? I says, you know, Father Abraham, he had 2 wives, Sarah and Hagar. We say Sarah and Hajra. He had 2 wives. From Bibi Hajra, he had the first son. He, in his old age, he was old. And he was praying, he wanted to do Allah's work, and said, look, when I die, I don't know what's going to happen to the message that I'm delivering to people. So, Ya Bari Allah, grant me a son, a noble son, a pious son, that he may carry on the good works. And Allah heard his prayer. Allah heard his prayer. And a son was born, whose name was Ismail. In Hebrew, Ishmael. Ishmael in Hebrew, Samia in Arabic, and Samia in Hebrew means the same. It means to hear. He says, Samiallahu liman hamida. When we get up from the ruku, he says, Samiallahu liman hamida in our salat. He says, Allah listens to the one that praises him. To hear. Samiallah, Samia. So, Ishmael, El in Hebrew means God. Ilah means God. In Arabic and Hebrew, Ilah, both means God. El means God. So Ishmael means God heard. What? The prayer of Abraham. He asked Allah for a son, and Allah heard his prayer, means Allah accepted his prayer, and Ismail alayhi salam was born. And for 13 years, he was the only son and seed of Abraham, 13 years, before Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam was born, after 13 years. And the Bible says, from among the brethren. The children of Ishaq are the Jews. The children of Ismail alayhi salam are the Arabs. They are brethren one to the other. It doesn't say from among themselves, but from among the brethren. I say, who are the brethren of the Jews? The Arabs. Though out of pride and arrogance, they are not giving that credit to the cousins. These are the brothers, the cousins. No. They make insinuations, you know, against the Arabs. About this being birthed, as Hajra, they say, was a slave woman. She was a slave woman of Egypt. Whereas actually she was a princess of Egypt. However, this aspect we will touch with in one of the lectures, Arabs and Israel, conflict or conciliation. Why this prejudice? We will deal with that then. But the fact for the moment is that he is from among the brethren. And I will put my word in his mouth. So I said, now how does somebody put somebody's word in somebody else's mouth? How do you put your words in your mouth? I said, you see, if I were to teach you a language which you never heard, you don't know, like Arabic, and I tell you, I ask you, I said, look, Dumini, repeat after me. Repeat after me. Qul huwallahu ahad, which means, say, he is God the one and only. So you say, Qul huwallahu ahad. So Allahu samad, God the eternal absolute. So you say, Allahu samad. What am I doing? I am putting my words in your mouth. See, these are not your words. You can't utter them by yourself. But what I'm saying to you, you are repeating them, so I'm putting my words in your mouth. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He does not beget and is not begotten. So you say, Lam yalid wa lam yulad. So wa lam yakun lahu kufuan ahad. And there's nothing like unto him. So you say, wa lam yakun lahu kufuan ahad. What am I doing? I'm putting my words in your mouth. But when I asked you, open Deuteronomy 18:18. And if I asked you to read, and if you read, am I putting my words in your mouth? He says, no. But if I tell you something which you don't know, you never heard before, and you repeat what I tell you, I'm putting my words in your mouth. Is that right? Is that right? I said, exactly. In that very manner, the whole Quran was revealed to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The very first revelation that was given to him, he was in the Ghar Hira, cave of Hira, subsequently known as Jabal al-Nur, the mountain of light, some 3 miles north of the city of Makkah. It was the 27th of the month of Ramadan. He is alone in the cave. And the archangel Jibreel, Gabriel, comes to him and commands him in his mother tongue, Iqra, Iqra, read, or recite, or rehearse.